You are listening to a message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For more information on City Church, or for additional resources, including service times, recommended readings, and additional audio, please visit citychurchpa.org.
Children dismissed, and I want to welcome all of us today. Thank you so much for worshiping the Lord with us this morning. And I just pray that, like, as you come into the house of God every single week, that your eyes will be lifted high and you would see God for who He is and then begin to see your life through His eyes. Amen. I always enjoy, in case probably you have not realized this, every first Sunday, we call it Hymn Sunday. And so we'll take some time to sing some of these great songs that have been passed down from generation to generation. And we join the church, and we in lifting God up through just some of these amazing songs. So just like I look forward to the first week, and just I'm always blessed by that. I want to welcome everyone. If you're visiting with us, thank you so much for joining us. If you do not know me, my name is Raphael, and I am privileged to be one of the pastors here. And we hope that this time for you is a time of blessing. And you are joining us today while we're like really in the middle of our series, Household Blueprints, where we've been looking at Psalm 127 and 128, and just really looking at like if we are to build something that lasts even beyond us, we need God's wisdom to do that. We need God's wisdom. And so we looked a couple of weeks ago, and we looked at Psalm 127 that says, unless the Lord builds a house, those that build in vain. Unless you protect with the Lord, you're protecting in vain. Unless you provide, unless you let Him be the provider, you're working in vain. And then we looked at the fact that God is the one who gives children. He has entrusted them to us as well, that they are first from the Lord before they are ours. And so we need to go back to Him as well and find the blueprints on how to actually raise them right. And then we looked last week at the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, and really just like our main, if you were here last week, if you didn't catch it, get to listen to it. We moved into Psalm 128, which is really just like Psalm 128 takes 127 and says, how do you keep going, get to the destination that God has set for you? And we looked at that, and it is by the fear of the Lord. By reverencing the Lord, by looking to the Lord, letting the Lord be the one whose opinion matters in every single matter of your life more than anything. We saw that in Psalm 128, verse 1. How happy is everyone, right? Everyone. That means everyone, right? If you live, breathe, and you're created in God's image, that actually applies to you. So while we're looking at household blueprints, this applies to everyone. And you're going to get to see how we then take that word everyone and actually start applying it to everyone within the life of the church. Amen. How happy is everyone who fears the Lord, who reverences the Lord, who fears the Lord, but that fear is not something that just, you just look at Him and worship Him and think, oh, He is great, and acknowledge Him. It has to hit the ground zeros of our lives. It has to hit the highs and lows of our lives. Who walks in His ways? That's the active fear, something that has to affect how we live and breathe and move our being. It has to be in Him, like Acts chapter 17 says. And it says this, now out of that, you will surely eat what your hands have worked for. You will be happy and it will go well for you. Meaning this, that like when you fear God, when you let God be the highest opinion in your life, in everything that is going on, it says that like it only ends well. It will be well with you. And fearing God, like I said last week, just like what it does is that basically it lets you keep your eyes on God above every single thing and never let a situation, person, or thing, or whatever it is that's going on the ground have the final say. Let God have the final say, right? And so fearing God means that, like, man, things might look like they're going south. Fearing God means that you still build with God. You go and you kneel down and you say, my help is not coming from the hills. It's not coming from my account. It's coming from the maker of heaven and earth. Fearing God actually is helpful if things are just going crazy, because you are actually acknowledging that my help is not in my account, in my 401k, in my health, in whatever it is in the maker of heaven and earth. And even my help for actually my children, my help for my family is from the maker of heaven and earth. And just really then treasuring the fact that I have taken all these things and put them before his throne, and he has the final say. And for parents, if you have wayward children, man, just continue to entrust them to him. He has the final say. And that's fearing God above everything. And not letting despair now suck you in and then keep you in the dungeon of despair, right? If you like Pilgrim's Progress like I do, right? So it says you'll be happy and it'll go well with you. And then here, so last week we looked at the fear of the Lord, and this, and we said our homes and lives need to be furnished. They need to be furnished with the fear of the Lord to experience the fullness of life that God extends for us. He says he has come. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but he has come to actually give us abundant life. To experience that, we need to be furnished with the fear of God. And so we looked, and so we build. Everything we do needs to have its foundation, and not only that, its rooftop, and its walls and everything needs to be the fear of the Lord. The frames in our house, the furniture in our house, everything needs to be the fear of the Lord. And last week we looked at the fear of the Lord. This week we'll focus on a God-fearing wife. And next week we'll look at a God-fearing husband. And then we will look as well on God-fearing children as well, as this passage actually just shows you here. Look at verse 2. It actually just says this: your wife, right? Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house, and then your children like olive trees around the table. And I know most of you are just wondering, why the vine? Why the olive trees? That's why I'm standing in front of you. We're about to unpack it, right? And really, but at the same time, verse 3 is still connected to verse 1. And verse 3, and even verse 4, it says actually in verse 4, talks about like that the man is to fear the Lord as well. And so here, what we really get to see here, your wife will be like a fruitful vine. What really it's pointing back to is the fact that like a godly woman should prizes the fear of the Lord. That in order for you to remain, to be a godly woman, you need to actually fear the Lord. So by fearing the Lord, and this is actually like what really I want you to walk away, by fearing the Lord as a woman and as a wife, you contribute to the fruitfulness of the home. Right, you contribute to that. So your wife will be like a fruitful vine. And here, what we're talking about here is the fact that like you are called to fear the Lord. And that's actually like where we see how happy is everyone. Who's everyone? And you're going to get to see them mentioned there. Here we're seeing the wife first. And to fear the Lord means to obey God. And he's designed for who you are. And not only that, for even your home and also your marriage as well. And fearing God is actually like how you get wisdom to live in your life. Like Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And the wisdom literature says that, please do not despise. Do not despise, and this is like this, do not despise. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. So, and let me just kind of pull back a little bit and just take you back maybe to Genesis 1 and 2. Genesis 1 and 2 is the foundation. So when you fear God, you go back to the original design of which God made the world. When we get to Genesis 1 and 2, you get to see the pattern of the kingdom. What does it mean to say all will be well for you? The pattern of the kingdom is there in Genesis 1 and 2, where you get to see, what do we observe about God? He is sovereign, he is powerful, and he is before the beginning. He shows up to an unfilled and unformed world, and he actually shows up, and then he starts making things move, right? And so we get to discover who he is, and he is sovereign. Fearing God means that, fearing God, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It means that you are actually acknowledging that you are not it. You are not the first mover. You are not the first designer. He is the first designer, right? And so everything about you, how you're wired and how you function needs to be found in within him. And so what does it tell us about creation? It says this, before sin, everything is good. Creation is ordered. It's meant to function, right? Creation is under the rule of human beings, and then creation is prepared for people. God makes everything beautiful and good, and the chorus of creation is, this is good, this is good, this is good. And so it means that, like, this is actually the blessedness of actually fearing the Lord, is that you're constantly moving into every single area and experiencing his goodness. God, when he is giving you commands, he's not trying to sap your joy. He is trying to fill your joy. Right? And what does it tell us about human beings? It says that now we are made in his image. Both male and female made in his image, right? That's what scripture says. God breathed into mankind, made us, and we were a lump of mud, right? Like a lump of mud. He fashioned, designed us, and he looked, and then he breathed into us, and we became a living soul. And when we became a living soul, he looked, and he says, this is very good. Right, very good. Looked at us, created, right? And then, and he says, and we are distinct from creation, means that we're made in his image. He made us for himself and from himself. And so this is actually what's important. Unless you know him, you will not know yourself. So you see why fearing him is the beginning of wisdom? Right, for life, for everything that we do, for godliness and all that, right? What's the relationship between humans and God? It's fellowship, and there's no conflict. We're enjoying God, but not only that, we have this vertical peace with him, but there's also this horizontal peace as well between man and woman. They have what we call a complementary relationship. God has made them equal, but he has made them different from each other. He has made them, there is harmony, there is working together, there is differences, and there is appreciating each other. There's actually like, there is appreciating the husband, the man is not trying to make him, her, like him, and the wife is not trying to make him like her. They're appreciating the strength, the image of God in within, right? There's working together. And there's this beautiful harmony between creation and humans, and they're fruitful in each and every way. All is well. And what's the purpose of creation? Like, it is to actually now to bear his image, to know him, to oversee his creation, and to be fruitful. That's where now we're coming down to that fruitful vine. To be fruitful, but to be fruitful, if you are a vine, you have to be planted. To be fruitful, you have to be planted, and you have to be rooted and grounded, and there has to be a trellis in which you're actually growing in. And that's actually like what fearing God needs to be our prize, because God is the ground and the trellis by which we grow and we become healthy and we become fruitful. Amen? That's what we see here. And what is the pattern of the kingdom? Where does everything lead to? That's why Sabbath is so important, because the kingdom of God brings us into something that is perfect, that is lacking nothing. And it says on the seventh day, God rested. Do you know that's what you and me need? And that's what actually you and me are looking for. And in our sinful tendencies, and whether it's addictions, whether it's anxiety, whether it's actually what you truly are looking for, if you're looking in through the scriptures, the first two chapters inform you of what you're looking for, which is rest, and what you're fighting for, which is rest, and what you're looking for from all the wrong places, which is rest. Whether it's in relationships or things or whatever, everything is just lacking nothing. God brings his people into rest, and it's his perfect work, lacking nothing, completely just, it's the pattern of the kingdom, right? The relationship with God is restful, relationship with others are restful, and then work is actually purposeful, and it's actually restful. And not only that, it's a perfect thing, which is actually what like Revelation 23 and 24 is going to give you this very picture. I'm making all things new. And what we see from the beginning is God's people in God's place under God's power, enjoying the rest that he gives. That's what Jesus comes to fulfill in our life. When he comes, he is actually trying to bring God's new people right under God's power. And then he's going to put us in God's place. Right now it's the church, but it's going to be the eternal kingdom, and when he comes. And so here, when it's actually saying all will be well for you, it's calling you. And first of all, let me just kind of say, husbands and wives and children and all society, it's calling us to actually the new kingdom. It's calling us to saying this, that you and I are looking for rest everywhere else, but it's only found in God. And the only way that gets restored is when we fear God and we see him for who he is, and we let him have the final say on the fabric of everything in our lives. Amen. So every home is pursuing rest. And then so here, and that rest is restored. Jesus comes, and it's amazing when he comes and he says, I am the source of your Sabbath. I am the source of your rest. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. And so here, what I want to really push towards us as husbands, as I'm talking about wives, like what your wife truly needs is rest. As wives, what your husband truly needs is rest. And this is where I love Augustine for this. You made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they are resting in you. What your children truly need is rest. That rest, you are not it. You are not the soul of that, and you can try to look for it anywhere. Like C.S. Lewis says, if you look around and you find that nothing else can satisfy here on earth, it means that it was made to be satisfied outside of this, and it is only found in God. Amen. So that's why you need to prize what? The wisdom that comes from God. But yet sometimes we find ourselves prizing something else. Proverbs 31:30 talks about the God-fearing woman. And it says this: sometimes we're so tempted to camp on this first one. Charm is deceptive. And beauty is fleeting. Like, it's not that charm is wrong. It's not that beauty is wrong. But do you realize this is actually basically like, if you look, drive, what is every billboard telling you? What's the internet telling you? What's the Instagram influencers telling you? What is true womanhood today? Like, what is it built on? What do I need to look like? What are some of the... This is actually what we call James K. Smith in his book, Desiring the Kingdom. He calls it, he says this, that like every single Christian has what we call rival liturgies. Every single week, the reason why we actually go through and we confess and we do all those things and we confess our sin, we receive the we look at the assurance of pardon, and then we look up to the kingdom coming and all that stuff, and we look towards the word of God, is that we have what we call rival liturgies. The world has its order of service, as into who you need to be, what you need to look like, what you need to actually like, and if you do not do this, and there's actually what? There's promises there that if you look like this, you're going to be actually like, people are going to think you are amazing and all that, but hey, and then there's actually warnings there. If you don't do this, if you don't look like this, if you don't act like this, this is actually what, like, you are not going to be cool. You're not going to be, but yet scripture says this, you need to prize what? The fear of the Lord above all this. But a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. And here, the rival liturgy is like, you see, there's two liturgies there. And by liturgy, it's like we came here, there's an order of service, we print it out. And by the way, it just simply tells you that worship is not something that happens only at church. It happens every single day of our lives. What do you need? What do you see? What is the world informing you about what you need and all that? And here, what we're getting to see, what is worthy of honor is a woman who fears the Lord. And beauty is a gift, but it is God who is actually ultimate in our lives. He needs to be ultimate. And so, and this is actually like where we need to. The fear of the Lord needs to be a priority. It needs to be encouraged. It needs to be what you pursue more than anything. It just means that, like, wives and women all around us, what probably your husband needs more than anything and what your children need more than anything is for you to have a fresh vision of God every single day. To wake up and go stand at the cleft of the rock and say, who are you, God? And pursue him with everything you've got. And then from there, you will see everything else becomes fruitful. Right? And then so, and that's how you fight the deception that comes with making ultimate the things that are meant to be tertiary or maybe secondary, right? And I love Proverbs 31 because it starts describing this godly woman. She is far more precious than jewels, right? And so that's she's far more precious than jewels. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She's not anxious because she's so rooted in Jesus, and she knows that he has begun a good work. She laughs at the future to come. She's able to actually become at a non-anxious presence in the house because she's planted, and she's also directed in within the Lord, right? Strength and dignity are her clothing. And she looks well to the ways of her household. And right, and then Proverbs 31:27 says, does not eat the bread of idleness. She's constantly laboring for the well-being of the house. And that's where in the New Testament, when it comes to Ephesians 5:21, you get to see there, it says that submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. What that simply means is that for your marriage to flourish, for your life to flourish as a woman, whether you're not married or whether you're married, what you need, if you're actually like wherever you are in the journey, what you really need generally as a woman is to actually fear Christ first. Above everything. And fear Christ, it means just like, know who he is. and know who basically know who he is, and then know whose you are. And then all of a sudden, number one, you will not cheapen yourself or degrade yourself according to the liturgies or the narratives all around the world. Amen? And so my question for you is, how is this? How is this teaching you? It's teaching you to fear the Lord. It should be a priority. And so I pray that today maybe you will examine your thoughts, you know, your desires, your words, your choices, your motivations, your relationships, first with your husband and your children, and your worship. Is God the main influencer? Is it God's way or is it your way? And maybe the rest you're looking for, the rest you're looking for is rooted if God is the main influencer in your life. That's what really it means. And so I'm excited for you to kind of think through this. Look at this. As you look through that verse again, let me unpack this fruitful vine a little bit more. A godly woman flourishes through walking in the fear of the Lord. So just like see God, and then but like actually now let him inform every single step of your life, every single step. And what I mean, let him inform your thoughts, your desires, your words, your choices, your motivations, your relationships, and your worship as well, right? Let him inform all those things, and says your wife will be like a fruitful house, a vine within your house. And that fruitful vine is linked together. So it is the fear of God that causes her to flourish. It is the manure. It is the ground. It is also just what enriches her to flourish. So the flourishing that you and I are looking for, that we were designed for, which is what we call the shalom, the peace and the joy that you are looking for, is only found in God. And if I can do anything today by just, and this can be successful, if I can push you to go and hide in Jesus every single day, that, and I know God would be happy and pleased with you. And not only that, your husband. And not only that, like it just, it's, let me talk to the singles for a second. I say singles because there are a whole lot of them are there, but I know they're everywhere here. What you're truly looking for, what you're looking for is God to inform you who you are before you actually get to meet who you're looking for. Right? And because that's very important. Next week, you're going to get to see why fearing God as a man is important. But this fruitful vine, just kind of follow me for a second. It was actually a symbol that was in each and every single house. Like every single house, like it's like the flag in each and every establishment. There was always, you would find the vine and the fig tree there. We're going to look at that, the fig tree for children, olives, right? Look at 1 Kings 4, verse 25. It says, through Solomon's reign, Judah and Israel lived in safety. Through Dan to Beersheba. Look at that. This is a whole kingdom, right? Each person under his own vine and with his own fig tree. So, your curiosity is piqued. So they had that. Every single house had this. But it also just like, it was an expression of blessing. An expression of blessing. Look at when they're looking towards the messianic era, what Christ is coming to restore. Look at Micah 4, verse 4. Each person will sit under his grapevine and under his fig with no one to frighten him, for the mouth of the Lord of armies has spoken. And if you go to Zechariah, another messianic text as well, on that day, each of you will invite his neighbor to sit under his vine and fig tree. And this is the declaration of the Lord, Lord of armies. So what was the importance of the vine? They, in each and every household, in Israel, they had the vine and fig trees as a sign of actually showing you. It's almost like there was this reminder of what makes a godly home. And in order for us to have a godly home, the wife would look at that vine. The man would look at that vine and be reminded that the wife is not going to flourish unless he is driving her towards the Lord, making sure that the ground she's planted in is healthy, and he is being given to actually what? The Genesis mandate to actually what? To tend and to keep, cultivate and to keep the environment where a godly wife can actually thrive, right? And so that's for us. There's sometimes when I see, and I've had to see one of my goals, sometimes when my wife is overwhelmed and all that, is for me to show up sometimes at home and say, what do you need? And a ton of times, if you know Heidi, she says, I just need time to go and read my Bible and pray. And usually I'm like, okay, I'm going to show up and you need to go. And actually, like, let's create a place where you can connect with God. Because I know there's sometimes, and then she looks at me sometimes, she's like, you are not being pleasant right now to be around. You need to take a walk and go for a prayer walk and come back. And so if you know me, you meet me by the river walk a whole lot of times. And I'm telling God about everything. And so we create spaces like that. And that's what makes a healthy home. Making sure that, like, it's actually like work and keep. Work and keep, not only just the land. Work and keep making sure that your wife has that environment, and then also making sure. So that's what actually, to sit under one's vine and tree was an expression of actually tranquility, peace, and prosperity. And this is actually like what, like, in the Jewish society, a godly wife and godly children were to be prized, right? These were vivid visual reminders to the wife and to the husband to keep the fear of the Lord as the main thing in their lives, right? So she's likened to a vine. In fact, one of the most productive plants in the plant in Palestine, right? And here it's a simile, like where the wife is actually is compared to the vine, because she is made to flourish. This is actually what it means, like what it means, why Jesus would die, and why the church is called the bride of Christ, why Jesus lives to make intercession for you and me. He wants us to flourish. Right, and he said, this is why marriage becomes very important. And I'm not going to preach next week's sermon. Let's just kind of keep going here. So the fruitfulness is bearing children, but it's not only just bearing children, but it's also just the fact that, like, the wife brings this atmosphere of grace and beauty in the house, right? And it symbolizes refreshment. Like enjoyment. That's what, like, because like that vine had what? Had grapes, and those grapes were crushed, and they would actually contribute to the joy of every celebration. Every celebration. And so not only that, like it's and wine was linked to every national and family celebration, and wine stands for harvest abundance at the end of a long and dry summer. It gladdens a man's heart, right? And not only that, it's just promising. It's the presence of the vine was a promise there of that in the hard day-to-day work in the fields, when people are laboring, when they came home to a godly wife, it was somewhat to coming to a good harvest every single day. And so, but that's actually why then it's important for us to maybe ask ourselves and just ask, based on actually what the vine stands for, am I Is my presence a presence of joy in my household? Is my presence a presence of celebration? And not so that you can feel terrible about it, so that it can actually drive you back to Jesus. You make known to us the pathway of life. In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So that in order for you to be that godly wife, that is a refreshment to everything that like to be like that Proverbs 31 woman, everything she touches just flourishes. It means that you are tethered to the source of flourishing himself, God. Once again, if I can push you towards God and for you to go hide in him, for him to be your rock of ages, for you to find yourself to make, let me tell you this. This is why in a world of destruction, I just like, once again, I admire like where, for example, Susanna Wesley has these children all around her. I admire the fact that like she realizes that God was the rock of ages, cleft for her. And she would say, let me hide myself in thee and lift up her apron in the middle of the kitchen and close. And she would spend sometimes 20 minutes to 30 minutes standing there. And all her children knew that it was like in the midst of destructions, in the midst of, can we create sanctuaries in our home so that joy can flow from the throne through our hearts into everything in our household? Amen. And in fact, through hardships as well. I loved this because when you look at actually Joseph, when Jacob is actually talking about his sons, and he's blessing them to at the end. He looks at Joseph. Joseph who's been betrayed, sold as a slave, who's been imprisoned. And so, and he says this, through all those hardships, look at Genesis 49, 22. Joseph is a fruitful vine. A fruitful vine besides a spring. I think that's actually what's important there. Joseph is not just a fruitful vine. He is a fruitful vine besides a spring, and its branches climb all over the world, the wall. Those are some of the things that the writer of Psalm 128 is drawing from. But what is the secret of flourishing for you when you are betrayed and wounded deeply? When you've been betrayed, sometimes even by us who are meant to actually love you the most. When you're betrayed by your children and people around you, and like when you've been hurt deeply, what is the secret? Besides a spring. That's actually like, if this is a wisdom psalm, let's take you back to Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who what? Who does not walk, sit, and stand, who does not stand, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. He is like that tree that is planted by the river. This is by the spring. Tether yourself to the spring, to the fountain of living water. Jesus himself says that I am the one, the living water, come drink of me and let me quench all your thirst. Plant yourself in him. The only way you can flourish the way God has called you to flourish is if you plant yourself at the spring itself. And listen, Satan will do everything possible to distract you from actually planting yourself there. And every single day, your fight is to actually go back and rejoice and rejoy yourself and rejoice, rejoice and rejoice in the Lord again. And I say, always rejoice in the Lord. Don't rejoice in your husband. Sometimes you probably can be an idiot. You can see him walking around and sometimes you can... Right? I confess to that. Don't rejoice. Don't put all your joy there. Right? Rejoice in the Lord. And sometimes it'll take you, Lord, you called me to follow this man. And right now it is so hard and I feel like taking all the reins. But would you help me to come back there? And in fact, that's actually really what you get to see here. I'm going to end with this. Last 5 minutes we have is a godly woman flourishes through the gospel. Through the gospel. And we get to see, because the temptation is going to come. The temptation is going to come because if you know what the vine looks like, and this is what Matthew Henry, at least let me set it up this way. Matthew Henry says, the vine is a weak and tender plant. Right? It needs to be planted. It needs to be supported and cherished. But it is very valuable. It's a very valuable plant. It's at the center of every part of family rejoicing and what? Societal rejoicing. Right. So, and in fact, this is what Matthew Henry says, the wife's place is the husband's house, right? She's informing the fabric, and it's almost like this vine basically covers the walls, right? Right, and her business lies in there, and he says that is her castle. And Matthew Henry says this, her place is in within the house and besides the house and to inform everything, not underfoot to be trampled on, right? And this is actually what's so, not underfoot to be trampled on. Why? Because God is informing who she is, right? Not underfoot to be trampled on and yet not upon the house to domineer it. So, right, and so that she's not taking the reins, but on the side of the house, being the rib out of the side of the man, she shall be a loving wife as the vine, and which cleaves to the house of the side of the house side, and what? Submitting to her husband, right, as the vine which is pliable and grows as it is directed, and she shall be fruitful as the vine, not only in children, but also, listen to this, and we need this husband, and we can confirm this, in the fruits of wisdom. I'm telling you, I would be a walking idiot without my wife. And she gives me so much wisdom. And even our church would be nowhere without godly women, right? Fruits of wisdom, righteousness, and good management, right? And the branches will run all over the wall like a fruitful vine, not cumbering the ground, nor bringing forth sour grapes, and he says, but good fruit, because she is planted in God, right? So we get to see this played out in Ephesians chapter 5, where it says that when it's calling wives to submit to their husbands, I know that's a dirty word today, right? But we are followers of Christ, and we know that that's actually for our good more than for our ruin. Because when he's calling us to do that, what is really God calling when he's saying, wives, submit to your husband as to the Lord? First of all, it's in the fear of the Lord. First of all, look to God. And then submit to your husband, because the husband is the head of the wife. That's where your flourishing is at, as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so wives are to submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave up himself for her, to make her holy in cleansing and with the washing of water by the word, right? That's the flourishing piece. And he did this to present the church to himself. The flourishing there is that, like our wives, you as a wife are made to flourish and resemble the church in splendor without spot or wrinkle or anything like that, but holy and blameless. And who's the source of that? Christ, right? And in the same way, husbands are to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves himself, loves his wife, loves himself, will look at that. And for no one ever hates his own flesh, but provides and cares for it, just as Christ does for the church, since we're members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined with his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And the mystery is profound, but look at this. we have to understand it's really not about us. But I'm talking about Christ and the church. To sum up, each one of you is to love his wife as himself, and the wife is to respect her husband. And that respect is actually only rooted in fearing Christ. Like, if you want to grow in actually respecting your husband, and it is actually going to come from that. But what is the warning there? Wisdom sayings always come with a warning. Because the warning is that if you do not do what, if you look, for example, and you look at the culture and its rival narrative, which actually says, if you submit to your husband, it means that you are weak and you're all those things. And you do not follow what Scripture is really trying to do. What Paul there is actually doing, he's insulating your joy. He's insulating your joy because he's saying, and what I love about here is that, like, when he's going back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, right after the fall, when all rest has been sapped out of the house. And what Paul does is that, like, he looks at the wife and he says, from this time onwards, this is the curse, the curse of sin that has come. And he says this, your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. That's the effects of sin that actually, like, and what happens there. And if you really kind of just like study Genesis chapter 3, where basically 3:16, where he says, like, I will intensify labor pains and you will bear children with painful efforts. Your desire will be for your husband. And there, what actually really then, it really looks like there, and it says, yet he will rule over you. Many people look at that as the desire of love. But that's actually the outworkings of sin in actually our lives. Because there, it's not a desire to love. There. If you look, for example, like look at Genesis 4:7. If you do what is right, this is God talking to Cain, who's about to murder his brother. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do what is do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door and its desire is for you. That is actually the same phraseology. In Genesis chapter 2, in Genesis chapter 3, and Genesis chapter 4, and you must rule over it. And just like, and as you can see, that's the same. Your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you, but its desire is for you and you must rule over it. That's actually the source of conflict. The source of conflict there is that when we actually now do not submit to our husbands, what really there you're getting to see is this, basically, like the phrase is looking like this, like where it says this, you will be drawn towards your husband with, not with affection, but with being resistant to him. And with actually maybe even a temptation to actually to come above him and go against what God has actually said, this is meant for your joy. And that's why fearing the Lord is meant to be in each and every. And I'm so sorry for the fact that we have quoted Ephesians 5:22 going down and we've not put 21 in its place. Because even husbands as well, it's the fear of the Lord that's actually, because not only that, even when you go down, and so it's actually meant to be, what is God saying? Is this for my joy? And then he will rule over you here. It's actually just at the end of the day, it ends up becoming a power struggle where he's trying to keep you under him and you are fighting. And then that's what causes conflict in the house, right? Right. So it's a domineering. At the end of the day, it's actually like it just ends up bringing that conflict. But we are so thankful for Christ because Christ, through the gospel, comes and then begins to he repairs the fabric, and he comes and he says that what you need, I'm not calling you to a lesser role when I'm calling you to be helper. I'm calling you. In fact, as a wife, do you realize that you are being called to embody two members of the Trinity? Jesus is the paraclete, the helper, and he says, I'm going to give the Holy Spirit as the helper. So that's not beneath. That's actually beside, right? And then here, this is actually not like, it's actually a way in which you're meant to grow. And then actually, so plant yourself in the Lord, right? And then it's actually out of that same fear that actually, like when you go, for example, in being involved also, let the fear of God fuel you in how you relate to your husband, and also let the fear of God in Christ fuel you in how you relate to your children as well. And I love Proverbs because Proverbs 1:8, it says, son, listen to your father's instruction, and then do not reject your mother's what? Teaching, right? And then Proverbs 6:20, listen to your father's command, do not reject your mother's teaching as well. You see, there's that. That's actually now where you come in harmony, complementing each other. And then what does actually godly children, it's godly men and godly women now taking, partnering with each other to birth actually godly children. Amen? And so when you get down to actually like Ephesians 6:4, which is still part of fear, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord, when it says, fathers, do not stir up anger in your children, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Here he's actually even covering the mothers as well there, saying that if you plant yourself in the fear of the Lord, you'll find yourself actually like now bringing them up well. So parenting is also meant to be done in the reverence of Christ. And so by reverencing Christ, you know what that simply means? You're planting yourself in Christ and you're acknowledging yourself that you are weak to do the work that he has called you to do. And apart from him, you can do nothing. And you as a fruitful vine, you're planting yourself in the true vine, Jesus Christ. And he says that I have chosen you so that you may bear fruit, and that fruit that will remain. So it's not in order for you to flourish, you need to plant yourself in the Lord. And John 15, Jesus now comes. And I love this. When it says that you will be like a fruitful vine, this is one of the things that at least you get to rejoice. Jesus is not, he is not ashamed to actually associate himself with you. And he says, I am the vine. And you are the branches. Abide in me, and you will bear much fruit. And so, godly wives, or godly aspiring wives, I want to just push you towards Jesus today. And plant yourself in him, the true vine. Reject all other vines, right? And then plant yourself in him, and you will see your home will be a source of joy and celebration. Pray with me. Father, we come before you and we thank you. We ask you that, Lord God, as we have looked at your word, and Lord, we're thankful that your word teaches us, and that, Lord, it reproves us. And so that, Lord, we look and we see the standard that we've lived on, and we see the gap. And we are so thankful that, Lord Jesus, because of your gospel, you call us, Lord, not just to be aware of the things that maybe where the gaps of our lives are, but the fact that, Lord, you have sent to us the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who comes and who's going to guide us into all truth. And so even at this moment, I ask you that, Lord, you would come. And to all who aspire, to all, Lord, who long and who have heard your word, and even to husbands, and even to sons in here, that Lord, that long to see their mother becoming this godly fearing woman, that Lord, we would look towards you. That Lord, you would be the source of our help today. That you would strengthen us. That we would find a source of our strength in you, God. And so that Lord, we may be able to toil in our house. And God, I thank you And Lord, even as I was reading this scripture, I'm so grateful for all the godly women that you have put in our church. Exemplary women. And I'm so grateful for the godly wives, Lord, that you have given us. Who get to give us, Lord, the gift of wisdom that flows from them. Thank you that the church thrives because you are at work even also in the wives and the women in our church. And Lord, I pray that God, you would continue the good work that you've started. And even to the young ladies that are aspiring, Lord, in their singleness, God, that Lord, help them to pursue being a godly woman. And Lord, even as they aspire, Lord, to have households, and Lord, let this become a blueprint for them. And Lord, would you help us, God, to ditch whatever blueprint we've had in what, Lord, and what it looks like to have a godly home. And Lord, to tether ourselves to the blueprint you've given us. And Lord, where Satan has risen up to bring condemnation today, Lord, let this text not be a weapon of condemnation. Let this text be, Lord, an opening of eyes, Lord, to the help that comes only from you. And Lord, as a result of this, God, would this result in the flourishing of women here in our church, and as a result of women in our city. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. We hope God meets you where you are and doesn't leave you, but changes you through the work of His Son. For additional information, please visit citychurchpa.org.